So now that you're a big kid and you've had lots of time to think about life, tell me, what do you want to be when you grow up?
A police officer.
I don't know.
I want to be a teacher, a mom, and then a grandma.
When I grow up, I want to be a Lego worker.
When I grow up, I want to be a drummer.
When I grow up, I want to be a firefighter and help people.
Now, if you're a police officer, how's that going to change the world?
I'm going to beat up bad guys and put them to jail.
You're going to put them in jail? That is awesome.
When I grow up, I want to be a pilot.
Swamp cop. It's a cop that has to find wobbles that, like, are in a forest.
And mommy cooks, and she makes breakfast for all the kids.
When I'm, like, in college, I might want to work at Starbucks because I think I would like coffee at the time. But then once I get, like, a real career, then I would probably be somebody who likes to, like, help people learn how to ride horses.
When I grew up, I wanted to be a pet babysitter, but I wouldn't want to clean up their poop.
Oh, don't you just love kids? Yeah. Hey, but what about you? Do you remember being that age and just like having life all figured out? I mean, exactly what you're going to do. Well, let me just welcome everybody on all of our campuses as we kick off week two of a series we're in called Game Plan. And as we dive into this week, let me just ask for a little bit of audience participation. We'll have a little fun. Let me talk to you men first. How many of you men, when you were growing up, wanted to either be a fireman, a policeman, or an astronaut? Go ahead and raise your hands. How many of you wanted to be that? Yeah, several of us. Those are common for boys. What about you ladies out there? How many of you wanted to be a princess or a vet or a nurse or maybe like a famous singer? Let me see your hands. Raise them high. Yeah, a lot of us ladies wanted to do that. Us ladies. One of my... the things you say. I will tell you, though, what I wanted to be. I feel like this is a safe place, so I'll tell you. There's two things. One of them was in my mind. The other is what I actually told people. So the thing I really wanted to be is I wanted to be a ninja growing up. So just what I wanted to do. But the thing that also I really wanted to be that I told people was based on this TV show that was on when I grew up. Do you remember this TV show? Do you remember Chips? Anybody out there? Come on. Yeah, some of you loved it. Some of you that are a little bit younger, you're thinking, that show looks lame. You watch that? Hey, pipe down, okay? This pipe down. This was a motorcycle, police officers that like just drove around on motorcycles and just caught bad guys all day long. And I thought, that sounds awesome. My best friend and I, we were going to be Ponch and John. That's what we wanted to be when we grew up. So when I was growing up, my game plan was set for life. I was either going to be a ninja or a motorcycle policeman. Here's the question, though. How many of you, whatever you chose when you were in kindergarten, how many of you became that when you grew up? Only a few of us. That's pretty common. But here's the point I don't want you to miss. Hardwired into every single one of us, even at an early age in our heart, is this desire and this longing to figure out what we're supposed to do with our life. And I believe that desire and longing was put there directly by God. I think all of us, put there by God, are here on earth to figure out what are we going to do with the short 60, 70, 80, 90 years that we have here. But the problem for many of us, and maybe this is where you find yourself today, is many of us have just kind of given up on figuring out what our purpose and our mission is in life. And for some of us, that's because, well, life just didn't turn out the way we thought. You know, as we got older, it got difficult, and that didn't work out, and this didn't work out, and we didn't get into that school, and we didn't get that job, or some of us have been hurt by other people or situations, so we've just kind of given up. Some of us, we've made so many mistakes in life that you know what we believe? Some of us believe that we've made so many mistakes that we can't have a purpose anymore in life. Even though when we read scripture, we see that some of the people God used the most are the people that made some of the greatest mistakes. But I don't know where you're at today, but no matter where you are, here's just the first thing I want you to know. If you're taking notes, I want you to know this, that God has a life mission for every one of us. Some people call this your life purpose. They use other words. I'm going to use life mission today. But I believe that God has a life mission for every single one of us. And the Bible makes that really clear. If you read Proverbs chapter 16, verse 4, it says this, God made everything with a place and a purpose. And everything means you, not the person sitting next to you, not in front of you or behind you. Like, God made you with a place and a purpose. And this series we're in called Game Plan is really all about you figuring out, what is your game plan for life? Why did God place you here on earth? And today, I want to help you discover what your life mission is. Last week, we talked about why game plan is so important. Today, I want to get really practical about you discovering what your life mission is. And some of you are thinking, that seems way too grandiose. But I believe that you can determine what your life mission is. And for some of us, it will be the most important thing that we do this week, this month, this year. We'll be actually taking some time this week to write it down. So I want you to know in advance, I'm gonna give you some homework at the end of the message, but I can't think of a whole lot of things that would be more important. Because could you imagine getting to the end of your life and realizing that you lived for the wrong things? I mean, that should worry some of us. As a matter of fact, D.L. Moody, I put it this way. He said, our greatest fear should not be failure, but of succeeding at things that don't matter. What if you got to the end of your life and you realized, I succeeded at a lot of things, but none of them mattered. There was no purpose. And I believe you can figure out what your purpose here on earth is. Listen to what Jesus himself was able to say at the end of his life. In John 17, 4, which this was the last prayer Jesus prayed on earth before he was crucified, he said this, I glorified you on earth by completing down to the last detail what you assigned me to do. Wouldn't that be amazing at the end of your life to say, God, I completed exactly what you assigned me to do. And some of you are thinking, I'm not sure you can do it. Well, I want to convince you otherwise today because it's not as complex as you think if you can just answer the right questions, which I'm going to walk you through today. But if you're taking notes, the first thing I want you to know when you're looking to discover your life mission is you basically have only two options to discover yours. Here's what I think your two options are. You speculation or revelation. Now, what do I mean by that? I mean that you can basically guess or you can ask God. And so many people go through life when they're thinking about their purpose or their mission here, and they do this. They just guess. They just speculate. It's like you go through life and you read some books and, you know, you contemplate and you pontificate and, you know, you just debate it with other people. It's like sometimes we go to, when we're in college, we sign up for a philosophy class and we take a class from this guy that has white hair and a long goatee and he smokes a pipe and he talks in deep tones about the meaning of life. And so we listen and we take notes and then we go off to a coffee shop and we drink lots of coffee and talk about it with friends, or we go to a pub and drink some beer, and eventually we're either high on caffeine or we're high on something else. And we think we've discovered like the meaning of life, or we just give up and say, well, there isn't a meaning of life. The problem with speculation though is that you're just guessing or hoping. And guess what? Your guess is as good as mine. Because when you just speculate, there's no authority you can go to that has the answer. As a matter of fact, years ago, there was a book written by someone who wanted to understand the meaning of life. And so he wrote 150 of the most famous and intelligent people in the world. And he asked them to send in their answer to what's the meaning of life. Do you know what the sad thing is in that book? He got back almost 150 different answers. One guy wrote back and said, if you figured it out, would you let me know? I mean, think about this. If you read that book and you just picked one of those answers, you'd have a 0.007% chance of getting it right. Surely there's a better way. And I want to try to explain to you the difference between speculation and revelation. And here's how I want to do it. I want to give you this visual. How many of you know what this device is? It's an AED. How many of you go? Raise your hands. How many of you know what it is? Some of us do. Some of us have no idea. This is an automated external defibrillator, okay? It was invented in the 70s. It's only been used since about the 90s, but it was a brand new invention. Let's just pretend right now, even if you know what this is, let's pretend that you have no clue. No one knows what this is. and this device shows up at your doorstep tomorrow, and when it shows up, there's no instructions, there's no manual, it just comes with a note that says, this is a life-saving device, use with care. I mean, that's a weighty statement. How would you figure out what to do with this? I mean, you could guess, you could just start experimenting, you could say, hey, John, come over here, let's hook this up to your head, and I'll push this button, and we'll see what happens. If you know anything about an AED, that's gonna be a pretty painful experience. Because this was designed to put electronic shocks through your heart to get it to beat again. So you could guess. Your other option is you could say, no, forget that. I'm gonna try to get a hold of the inventor. And I'm gonna ask him to send me the instruction manual so I can figure out how this works. And I'm telling you, your life is no different. God loved you so much because God created you, and when he created you, he actually gave you an instruction manual that you can use for your life. And that instruction manual is God's word, the Bible. And so many people have just written this book off as an antiquated old document that's not even relevant to life anymore. And I'm just telling you, if you've ever read it, if you've ever tried to apply this to your life, you know that this is exactly how life was designed to work. And that's why I'm so excited for next weekend, because if you've ever struggled reading the Bible, next weekend we're gonna help you in a very practical way engage God's word. C.S. Lewis once wrote, he said, running your life apart from God's word is like operating an automobile, driving it down the street and filling it up with water and expecting it not to break down. It was designed to be run off gasoline. And our lives were designed to be run off of God's word. Psalm 119 says this, your word is a lamp to guide my feet and a light for my path. And God gave us this to illuminate our path and exactly the way we should go with our lives. And that's why when you're determining your life mission, and if you want to discover it, you have to use God's instructions, not the world's intuition, which so many people go to. So today, here's what I want to do with a little bit of time we have. I want to take God's word, I want to take scripture, and I just want to unpack three questions I believe that if we would answer these questions according to scripture, I believe they would lead us directly to discovering our life mission today. So if you're taking notes, here's the first question I think you have to ask, which I believe is probably the most important to discover your life mission. It's this. What will I center my life around? What are you centering your life around right now? And when I say life, I mean everything about you. These are your talents, your abilities, your influence, the gifts that God's given you, your money, everything about you. What are you centering it on? And there's so many options out there today. I mean, some people center their life around a job or a profession. Some people center it around a family or their kids. Some people center their life around making money. Some people center it around a hobby or a sport or collecting things. I mean, there's so many things. And none of those are bad at all. They just don't belong at the center of your life. And here's why. Because if you use any of those things as the center of your life, when life gets hard, when life starts spinning out of control, when you get a call from a doctor or your husband comes home and says, we need to talk, or something happens with your boyfriend or girlfriend, or you get some bad news with kids. I mean, life spins out of control in so many different ways. And when that happens, if those things are at the center of your life, they do not have the glue to hold your life together. Let me give you another visual I think might help. When I was a kid, I loved building these model cars and planes. They would come in kits, and they come with all sorts of different pieces in the kit. But the way they were designed is they came with this very specific glue that you used that would actually fit the pieces together and hold them together. And so, you know, I put these together and I loved them. One day I opened it up, though, and I put it aside for a couple days. And when I came back, I'd lost the glue. And I thought to myself, I was just a young kid, and I thought, well, that's no problem. We have other glue in the house. I mean, I'll just figure out. Mom has this Elmer's glue, and so I'll just use this. I mean, it was like a brilliant idea. And so I began to take this Elmer's glue and I began to piece together this model. And you already know what happened. It's like the moment any pressure was applied to this model with this glue, it all fell apart. And I think that's probably exactly how some of you feel right now. It's like in your life, you know that any time any pressure gets applied, things get hard, it just seems like life starts falling apart. And maybe today's a good time to ask very honestly to yourself, what am I putting at the center of my life? And does it have the glue that holds life together when it gets hard? Because God designed your life to have Him at the center. The amazing thing is God actually begs us to put Him at the center of our life. You know how I know that? It's because He sent His own Son to die for you and for me to prove how much He loved us and how much He wants to be at the center of all of our lives. And I realize today, there's several of you here today, many of you, that you're not a follower of Jesus. And you're not a Christian, and you may be here because someone invited you, may be here because someone promised you lunch or dinner. Or you may be here because you're just trying to figure out this whole life thing and who Jesus is. And I want to tell you that we are so glad you're here. As a matter of fact, this church exists for you, for people that are really trying to figure out who Jesus is. But what I want you to know is that eventually in life, when you make a decision to step over the line and follow Jesus, what that means is you are deciding to put Jesus at the center of your life, and whatever you had at the center before goes to the side. And the amazing thing, when you do that, life all of a sudden begins to work. It doesn't mean you won't have difficulties. It doesn't mean you won't have problems. I have problems all the time. It just means now you'll have a foundation that holds, that's solid as a rock. So the first thing I want you to understand as you answer this question is this, that God designed me to center my life on Him. He did. When Jesus was here on earth, the most prestigious and greatest leaders asked Him a question: what's the greatest commandment? What's the most important thing in life? And listen to how Jesus answered. He said, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and the greatest commandment. I would circle first and greatest in your notes or in your Bible. Jesus said, there's nothing more important. This is the first commandment, to love God. Now, why is that so important? I think Proverbs 9 gives us a peek into why it's so important. It says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. And so many people go through life, and they just kind of feel lost, and they're just trying to find themselves, or they'll use different terminology. But here's the truth. You'll never understand who you are until you know who God is. That's exactly the way God designed you, because He created you. So question number one, you have to ask, what am I putting at the center of my life? Question number two is this. Have I defined who I want to be, not just what I want to do? You know what? What's one of the first questions we ask someone when we meet them for the first time? What do you do? It's like we focus everything around what you do, what you're doing. And if you ask someone their life mission, or if I asked you what's your life mission, some of us would answer today with like maybe a role or a profession or a goal. Like you might say, well, I'm a parent, or I'm a dad, I'm a mom, I'm a student. Or you might say, I'm a CEO, or I'm a teacher, or I'm a firefighter, or I'm a D1 coach, or you know, I'm a businessman, or I have goals. My life mission is I want to be a millionaire someday. I want to retire happy, or I want to get a PhD someday. And listen, those are great things. There's nothing wrong with all those goals. I have goals and I have aspirations as well. But here's the problem. If you answer with a role or profession as your life mission is separate from those things. Here's why. Because your role and your profession and your goals, they change over time. Your life mission should not. For example, if your life mission was to be a great mom or a great dad, what happens when the kids leave home? Some of you are like, Ashley, my life mission is for the kids to leave home. Well, that's great, but you'll still have your husband or wife there, potentially. If your life mission is your profession, what happens if you lose your job? Or what happens when you retire? Should we just euthanize you because you're not worth anything anymore? Well, no, your life mission is so much more than your job or your role or your profession. Your life mission should inform those things, but it's completely separate. You see, you should always define who you want to be before deciding what you do. You should always define who you want to be, not just what you want to do. And here's why. Because God is more interested in who you're becoming than what you're doing. Do you know why? Because you take your character to heaven with you. You don't take your career. And God's very interested in who you're becoming. I think one of the best pictures of your life mission would be, what do you want written on your tombstone when you die? Or if you died tomorrow and someone was standing up at your funeral, what would they say about you? We're to do what Stephen Covey said years ago, that we're to begin with the end in mind. Because all of us are going to face a day where we're not here anymore. And when people summarize their life, what would they say? Isn't that like a sobering thought? As a pastor, I go to so many funerals, and some of them are difficult because it's hard as people get up to describe someone's life. Sometimes they really struggle talking about meaning in someone's life. I was at a funeral a few years ago, and literally the summary of this guy's life was, he was the number one Green Bay Packers fan we know. And I'm thinking, don't let that happen to you. Really? Don't let that happen to you. You don't want that to happen. But when you write your life mission, here's what I want you to know. Be focused on who you want to be, not just what you want to do. Because all throughout Scripture, we're kind of given some ideas about who we're supposed to be. Galatians chapter 5 is a great place to start. It talks about the fruits of the Spirit: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control. And so as you're answering this question, here's the second thing I want you to know. God made me to become more and more like Christ. That's how God made you. So you need to consider that as you're writing your life mission. And here's one reason I think this is so important as you consider this, is that until we realize who God wants us to be, most of life will be focused on who? Me. And that leads to, the third question you can ask to discover your life mission, which is this: what will I invest my life in besides me? I mean, when you decide to center your life on Jesus, when you decide who you want to be, not just what you want to do, it naturally should lead you to figuring out, with my life, who am I going to invest in and what am I going to do with my life besides just benefiting me? I mean, we live in a pretty self-centered world, don't we? But 1 Peter 4:10 tells us this. It says, God has given each of you some special abilities. Did you know that when God designed you, he gave you some abilities wrapped up in your personality that no one else on earth has? And some of you are like, I know, Ashley, my mom told me I'm special. Well, she wasn't wrong. You are. The problem is, who are you using those giftings for? Because listen to the last half of this verse. It says, be sure to use them, your special abilities, your giftings, for who? To help each other. Passing on to who? To others, God's many kinds of blessings. You see, I think when you boil down life, there's only two kinds of people. At the end of the day, there's only two. There's givers and there's takers. There's people that walk into a room and say, here I am. And then there's people that walk in a room and say, there you are. You see, you can live life selfishly or you can live life unselfishly. And the reason, as you're writing your life mission, you have to answer this question, according to Scripture, is because you'll never find happiness in life until you start giving your life away. Winston Churchill, I think, has an amazing quote. He said this: we make a living by what we get. We make a life by what we give away. Did you know we don't build statues to takers? We build statues to people that gave their life away. And I want to give you two examples of people that we've built statues to in the world. They exist today, to just give you a picture of what life's supposed to be about. The first would be Mother Teresa. And I think you'd be hard-pressed to find someone that served more people in her lifetime than Mother Teresa. I mean, she dedicated her life in Calcutta, India, to the poorest of the poor. And some of you are like, I'm not Mother Teresa. I'm not either. Trust me, I'll never be Mother Teresa. But that doesn't mean that we shouldn't use her as an example of what it means to leave a legacy with our life, serving other people. I mean, listen to what even Mother Teresa said. She said, not all of us can do great things, but we can do small things with great love. All of us can serve somewhere. I mean, are you serving in your church? Are you serving in your community? Maybe that's a next step for you as you really think about what your life is all about. The second picture I give you of someone that has a statue built to them is Billy Graham. There's no one that shared the gospel with more people in the last 100 years than Billy Graham. And it shows us that our legacy in life will be those that we shared Jesus with. Because at the end of our lives, it all goes back in the box, except for one thing. There's only one thing you get to take with you to heaven, and that's people that you invested in and shared Jesus with. That's it. And you might be like, well, I'm not Billy Graham. Well, I'm not either. I'll never have the impact Billy Graham had. But we can all have people in our lives that we're sharing with. And you're like, but Ashley, what I'm doing seems really insignificant. Don't buy into that lie. Years ago, there was a story of two young boys that walked into a church, and it was a really crowded service, and they couldn't find a seat, and they began to walk out. But there was an usher that was serving in that church that day that caught the eye of those two boys, and he saw them leaving, and he went up and he grabbed him. He said, oh, I'll find you a seat. As they were walking out, he bring them back in. He found them a seat kind of center up front. And during that service, one of those boys decided to accept and follow Jesus for the rest of his life. And his name was Billy Graham. We know Billy Graham. We don't know the usher's name. But I'm telling you, his legacy is set for how he served and how he invested in others. The point is, that's what your legacy is all about. And as you determine your life mission, you need to ask, who am I investing in? You see, when Jesus wrote what the greatest commandment was, he also went on to describe a second command. And he said this, and the second's like it. In other words, in the Greek, that means the second is equal. It's not just love God. He goes on and said, the second's like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commands, to love God and to love others. That's the greatest command we're given on earth. And as Jesus went throughout his life, I think there's a couple verses that describe his purpose as he revealed it to us. He said in Mark 10:45, for even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve. He also said this in Luke 19:10, for the Son of Man came to seek and save the lost. So as you're writing your life mission, think about who am I serving and who am I investing in? Because the third thing, as you're thinking about your purpose, is God made me to serve and to invest in telling others about him. I believe as you go throughout life, and as you sit down potentially today or this week, if you answer those three questions honestly, what am I centering my life around? Have I defined who I want to be, not just what I want to do, and who am I investing my life in besides me? As you answer those questions, I think it will lead you to your life mission. Years ago, Steve Jobs came back to the helm of Apple, and he was looking for a new president to come lead the company with him. And he went to the president of Pepsi at the time, John Sculley, and he kept asking Sculley to come on board and become the president of Apple. But Sculley kept pushing back and saying, not interested, not interested. Why would I leave Pepsi? I have a great job. I make lots of money. And Steve Jobs kept pressing him and pressing him. And finally, he sat down and he got up in Sculley's face and he said, Sculley, do you want to keep selling sugared water the rest of your life? Or do you want to come change the world? And Sculley would later reflect and say it was that question that led him to leave Pepsi and come join Apple. My question to you is, as you get to the end of your life, I don't want you to be able to say or look back and say, you know what I did with my life? I sold some sugared water, made a lot of money, lived for myself, had a good life, retired somewhere great. Because I believe if that's you, you'll look back with so many regrets, and I don't want that for you. And you're thinking, well, Ashley, you tell me I have to leave my job? Absolutely not. For most of us, God has us exactly where he wants us. I'm just asking you, do you have a life mission that transcends your job, transcends your role? Do you have to move away to a different country and serve the poor? No. For most of us, that's not the answer. But do we have a life mission? And I don't know where you're at today. I don't know what you're investing your life in right now. But I want to challenge every single one of us today to write out our life mission. I did this almost 20 years ago. I just sat down, and I'm telling you, it wasn't complex. It wasn't fancy. I just sat down and started writing, God, what do I think you want me to do with my life? And here's what I came up with. I wrote this down. I exist to worship God Love my wife and kids and tell everyone I can of Jesus' saving grace. And I wrote this down before I ever went in the ministry. I didn't even know that was on my radar. But what it did is it helped define and it helped shape so much of my life. And it helped me go back to this on several occasions to say, why am I here? Why am I here? What am I doing? Regardless of my job, regardless of my role. And my question is, have you figured that out for your life? So the takeaway today is very simple. I want to ask you this week to get alone with God and to write out your life mission. Just one sentence. And listen, don't strive for perfection. I know it feels weighty. Don't let the weight stop you. Just get something down on paper because it's easier to edit than it is to create. And we've made it so simple for you. If you're on our mobile app, if you click on the link there, it'll take you directly to a form we've created for you that takes the questions we've asked in this sermon and also some other questions, and it'll walk you through how to put together your life mission. If you don't have the app, go right to our homepage, ccv.church, and you can download it right there. And I know many of you maybe downloaded it, so just give it a chance to load. But I'm telling you, just take this form this week and sit down with God and just ask him to reveal to you, God, what'd you put me here on earth for? I can't think of anything more important that you could do. And why would you put off another day without defining exactly why God has you here on earth? Can I tell you, people's lives are at stake. Just like that AED, people's lives are at stake if you don't figure out why you're here. You know, in addition, this last week, to sitting down with some young kids that were telling me what they want to be when they grow up, I got to sit down with some people that are a lot further on in life than most of us here today. And I asked them to just look back on their life and to give all of us some advice on what really added purpose and meaning, what was really their life all about when they look back. And I want you to listen to their responses as they help us understand what a life mission's really all about.
Hello, I'm Doris Jesse, and I'm 74 years old.
And I'm Jeff Jesse, and I'm older.
Much older.
My name is Gail Huskisson, and I'm over 70.
Tell us, kind of looking back on life when you were little, what did you want to be when you grew up?
Well, when I was 7 years old, I dreamed of being a ballet dancer.
There was a time when I was probably like fourth grade on, I wanted to be an architect.
Most little boys want to be athletes, and I want to be a football player, and I didn't make it.
Now that you've had the luxury of being able to look back on life, what really added meaning? What added purpose?
The happy moments in my life is when I have been involved in other people's lives.
Opportunities that come my way to mentor, counsel, encourage young men. And I would say that that's really what gives life meaning.
Everything that I've done has centered around serving God. And we recently were able to have two of our friends come to church with us, and he's 80. And to see him turning his life towards God was a beautiful thing.
The people that have been and are involved in loving the Lord, they become content with their life. And the people that aren't, unfortunately, it seems like they don't ever become content with their life.
You don't need a lot of things, but it's certainly the relationships and the people that you can help and encourage along the way makes life really fulfilling.